This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today in studios with me, I have Dr. Tan Yee Kew, MP for Wangsa Maju. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dr. Tan.
Thank you.
So this is your first stint as a KL MP, but not your first stint as an MP. Before this, you served as a Member of Parliament for Klang from 1995 to 2008. So coming from Klang to Wangsa Maju, how has this been different for you?
Well, the workload is much heavier, I must say, because in Selangor, they are aduns. Mm-hmm. They are counsellors to help you. But here in Kuala Lumpur, I have to take care of everything from policies, going to parliament, asking questions, raising people's concerns. I have to look at the damaged roads, clogged drains, street lights, and even like stray dogs. Yeah.
How would you categorize then your relationship with DBKL and the mayor's office? Because, I mean, here in KL, you don't have aduns or councillors, but you would theoretically have the support of DBKL, right?
Yes, yes. Actually, I'm very grateful for the cooperation I get, especially at my local DBKL office. The pengurus is helping me a lot. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, he took the initiative to come to see me, give me a briefing of my constituency almost immediately after I took over the office. Yeah, and since then, he has been very helpful. And I get a lot of support from Datu Pandar and the minister. I don't think I could have done anything at all without their full support. And I'm always very grateful for that. Yes. In fact, the cooperation I get from DBKL compared to last time when I was MP of Klang, I don't get that kind of support and help from the Majlis Perpanda Klang.
I see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to your constituency, what would you say are some of the main issues affecting the people on the ground in Wangsa Maju?
Yeah, I think many problems are reflective of urban poverty in my kawasan because Wangsa Maju is a marginal constituency. Most of the residents are from the middle income and lower income groups. So a lot of the problems are related to really poverty, like the shortage of low-cost housings, lack of maintenance of infrastructures. And in fact, a lot of the basic infrastructure is not there. There are about 400,000 residents in Wangsa Maju. The physical area, not so big, but high-rise, low-cost. We don't have a clinic. A public clinic that is beyond my imagination before I came.
In the entire constituency?
Yes. There are only two community clinics. And community clinics are not served by doctors. It's just a medical officer.
Why was that the case?
Wangsa Maju was under opposition for 10 years. Yes. So if my constituents want to visit a clinic, they have to go to TT Wangsa or Setia Wangsa. My people actually have a lot of problem going to visit a clinic because there's no public transport, no bus service, no LRT from Wangsa Maju to TT Wangsa. We also do not have a sport complex. And Setia Wangsa, my neighbouring constituency, has three. I don't have one. Before I came, there was not even a recreation park. There was a lake, a beautiful lake before that, but the entrance was blocked by the illegal second-hand car showroom.
But speaking of illegal occupants, I mean, another problem that has made national news arising from Wang Samaju is the bazaars and the issues that are surrounding Bazaria Wang Samaju, which is a case that is still ongoing. What's the status of that at the moment?
Bazaria is a new location. The old one was uptown, Tanah Kota. When I was first elected, I received so many complaints. And I know the complaints have been going on for the last 12 years since they opened up Uptown Midnight Market. There are so many problems faced by the resident: traffic jam, the health hazard, and also the danger of hawkers frying kway teow within the vicinity of the petrol kiosk. In fact, on top of the gas tank.
That's dangerous,
so,
yes.
Yeah, dangerous. So I see there are actually two problems. One is the disturbances caused by these traders. The other problem is, of course, there's a clear evidence of exploitation by the license holders who rendered the license to the illegals. You see, when the hawkers, the real genuine work hawkers doing business, but they have no way to get the license, so they remain illegals. So they rent the license. When you have no license, you cannot get loan from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So although the government has a lot of small loans, microcredit, etc., they actually have no access to it because they don't have the necessary document, the license. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they have to pay a high renter to the license holders, 800 per month to 1,500.
Now, you've also said that some of these licenses have been taken up by syndicates operating within Wang Samaju. Yeah. So, you know, if this is the case, you know, why haven't authorities gotten involved to try and address this issue?
I have no answer to it, frankly. I have been asking, why was there no action taken? Actually, they are.
Do you have a gauge of how long that they were operating within the constituency?
No, initially, there are 330 license, 330 license issued to one persatuan. Another group that came in later are the syndicate. They are just claim that the land belonged to them and they rendered the lot to the illegals. So there are two groups. One is so-called legal with license. The other is no license. They pay renter to the syndicates. After we remove them to remove all the traders to the new site, the syndicates know that there's no hope for them to continue to fight because all their former traders who rented license from them, they are very happy. The problem now rests with the association. The association, they have the license. They gave the license to their cronies. Most of them are not traders. We did a survey and it was found that out of 330 licenses given to the persatuan, only 49 are still operating. They are traders. The rest, they just rented the license to others. So this group of people were complaining. They said, we are license holders. Why can't we be given a license to in the new area? But the fact that your license is for you to do business, not for you to rent. You cannot trade a license as a commodity. You sell, you trade, and then you rent. That is not the way we want it, right? So we took the license back. We canceled their license. In fact, we closed down the entire uptown to move the area, the hawkers to the new site, which is very, very near to the old site. It's just across the road.
But of those people who, as you say, are mad at you, right, they have also lodged police reports and complaints of abuse of power in the awarding of these licenses. Mm-hmm. So, as you said, you conducted a survey to determine who were the genuine traders, separate from who are those who are renting the licenses out to others. How assured are you of the independence of the survey conducted? Because this is the premise of the argument, right?
First of all, it is wrong for them to say I have abused my power as MP. We give our opinion. We will bring up cases which we think DPKL should address to these problems to our meeting. We are not the one that issue license. We are not the one to conduct survey. We give ideas. We give our opinion. So in this case, and I have insisted that we should have an independent team to carry out the census. Yeah.
And who were the independent team in question?
Yeah, but I'm not in the position to talk too much about, because this really is part of DPKL's job. It is wrong for them to lodge a police report against me. Yeah. I lodge a report against the A-class chairman also for creating, for instigating the traders to go against us.
Yes. And, yeah. And I mean, but Dr. Tan, some would argue also that that's maybe not the best use of your time as an MP, because you launched the suit against Mohamed Ridzwan Abdullah of A-Class just shortly after you resolved another defamation case, that one against a member of the UMNO division in Wangsa Maju. So is it the best use of your time as an MP?
Yes. I want people to understand that you cannot just do things like this. I have to defend my office, the office of MP. I have to defend the integrity. I want to bring law and order back to the constituency. Yeah. In fact, I think this is one of our objective, our agenda for the new government. Bring law and order back. You cannot just accuse somebody, you smear the name of the MP just because you want to confuse people.
I'm speaking with Dr. Tan Yi Q, Member of Parliament for Wangsa Maju. After this, we'll be taking a look at what lies ahead for PKR and Pakatan Harapan. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Dr. Tan Yi Q, Member of Parliament for Wangsa Maju. Earlier, we covered some of the challenges faced by KL MPs, as well as issues particular to Wangsa Maju. But now, Dr. Tan, I'd like to continue our conversation about the agenda for the new government. We are also heading into a Pakatan Harapan meeting this weekend. So, you know, this comes at a time when PKR has been rife with alleged infighting. So what is your gauge of the situation within the party itself heading into this Pakatan Harapan meeting?
Well, there are a lot of speculations about what is going to happen. I think to most lawmakers, those who are within the Pakatan Harapan, I think there's no doubt about the transition of power. We are very confident that things will go on smoothly. I mean, the transition of power will be smooth. And despite the speculation, I don't think there will be any real crisis. Yes.
But nevertheless, I mean, confidence in PKR and by extension Pakatan Harapan has been hit as a result of the arguments that we're seeing being conducted through the platform of the media. So what is PKR specifically doing to perhaps rehabilitate or strengthen its image now heading into, especially as we head into November when the supposed transition of power is supposed to take place?
Well, the media play up the issue of conflicts within the party. A lot of focus were given to the infighting. But in all political parties, dispute of opinions or ideologies is part of the ecosystem. But all political parties have a mechanism to deal with it. Yeah. So it is very unfortunate that the dispute among members were highlighted, were given so much attention by the press and the public. Having said that, I think there should be a limit to it when somebody crossed the line, and then the party will have to activate the mechanism to deal with it so that the party can, so that we can avoid further damage to the party.
But what's happening behind the scenes? You know, we hear a lot of talk about very divided factions forming within PKR. You know, some aligning with Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, some aligning with Dato' Sri Azmin Ali. You know, how much truth is there to this, and will it impact the transition of power to Anwar Ibrahim?
I do not think what happened in PKR will jeopardize the transition of power between from Tun M to Dato' Sri Anwar. I don't think it will cause any trouble. Of course, it creates speculations. It creates a lot of talks. But in real fact, those who are in the party, and we know things will be okay. Yeah.
So what are your expectations then going into this weekend, Dr. Tan?
I think there will be an agreement, because there has always been an agreement, and nobody so far has denied of the agreement of the transfer of power from Tun M to Dato' Sri Anwar. Nobody so far has denied. And it's just whether we want to fix the date, do it or not. Yeah. So to me, whether it take place in May or APEC, after APEC, is not a very important question anymore, because it's just a matter of few months. Yeah. And I can quite understand why Tun M refused to give a definite date each time when he was asked by the reporters. I think the questions posed to him is rather unfair, because as a prime minister, he doesn't want to be a lame duck. Yeah, by fixing a date, I think he mentioned this problem before, and Anwar understood the problem quite well. In fact, he defended him on this issue. But I think between them and among us,
there is some kind of
agreement. Yes. Yeah. And nobody has denied of such agreement or objected.
Mm. And as a final question this morning, Dr. Tan, what would you say would be some of the main issues you'd like to draw attention to when it comes to Wang Samaju? Do you have a wish list, perhaps?
There are a number of things that I really want to do. Like I mentioned earlier, the lack of facilities, public facilities like a public clinic. Mm-hmm. I have raised the problem many times in Parliament. And in fact, 3 weeks ago, I went to see the minister on this. And I was given the promise that, okay, I'm going to get the public clinic in Wang Samaju. So he actually has instructed his staff to put in a budget request for this in March. Yeah, that means if it's approved, I will be getting my clinic in 2 to 3 years' time. Hopefully, it happens before my terms end. And then
yes.
I'm still working on the sport complex. That is a bit difficult, because there's no land. I have to find a piece of land for the sport complex. And the fund also is another problem. So far, I have touched on only the infrastructure, the physical aspect. The other social aspect also, the social aspect of the problems we face in Wang Samaju, like related to poverty. And I'm sure you are aware of the studies that carried out by UNICEF. UNICEF about the malnutrition problem among babies and young kids.
Yes.
In urban area, in Kuala Lumpur, in fact. There was the studies, 15% of the children below 5 are underweight, 22% standard, 23% overweight.
And do you have an indication of how big a problem this would be within Wang Samaju particularly?
In fact, I have put up a paper to do a nutritional program for young kids below 5, yeah, from 2 years old to 5 years old. it's a food supplementation program. So hopefully we can launch this program in March. But I really want to see that they are better housing. In fact, I'm also working on two projects, rehabilitation of the low-cost housing areas, which are very run down now.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is some of the work that in the pipeline that I'm going to do this year. Of course, I really hope the Ministry of Housing can come up with better scheme and better solution to the shortage of low-cost houses, especially in area like Wang Samaju, where the demand is so big. You know, lately, I was in a shopping mall, officiating a function, and a young lady came to me, give me a slip of paper. And I went back, I read, is asking for help. Right? She was asking for help. She is a single mother with 5 kids. She is squatting with the parents.
Right, yes.
In a two-room unit, low-cost flat. So I asked my assistant to go and to investigate the background and see in what way I can help. He found out that there were 16 people living in that two-room flat.
Yes.
16. It's terrible, the condition. But this is not an isolated case. I have received about 300 applications for low-cost flats since I was elected. And none of them have been given a low-cost unit. Yeah. So that is the situation. And I was told there are 17,000 in the waiting list in Wilayah Persekutuan alone. 17,000. So when is your turn?
Well, thank you very much for coming in to speak with us this morning, Dr. Tan.
Yes.
And best of luck with all of the measures you have on your plate.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Dr. Tan Yee Kew, Member of Parliament for Wang Samaju. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.